Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been here for a while, well, you already know how much fun you've been having, so I won't have to tell you about that. But I do know that I'd like to encourage you to go to our website, which is Entrepreneurial Nirvana, jbsba.com, or jimblasingame.com, or smallbusinessadvocate.com, whichever one you can remember, whichever one you want to type in, do that. And when you get there, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week. By email, don't forget all the archives and the articles that you can read and listen to there, all the resources that are there that have been deposited by the opinions, the energy, and the information that have been deposited by our Brain Trust members, like our guest this half hour, our good friend Matthew Cartwright, who's one of the attorneys in our Brain Trust. And Matthew has been practicing law for some time now, and we're going to get him to tell us about his firm in just a little bit, but what we're going to talk about first is something that you probably don't know a lot about. Matthew Cartwright, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. Munley, and Cartwright, PC, out of Scranton, Pennsylvania, but also not only Scranton, but Wilkes-Barre and Stroudsburg, right? We got several offices, don't you?
Right. We range all over northeastern Pennsylvania. We're into New York State now, too.
Yeah. All right. So they're growing into New York. Matthew, it's good to have you back, and I want you to tell us about a project that you're working on that a lot of people probably don't know much about, at least not mostly out in out of the tri-state area, I'll say. And tell us a little bit about it.
Well, you know what, Jim, I want to thank you for giving me the chance to tell you about this and your listeners. It's something I'm feeling good about. I just got done working on my part of what is the largest pro bono legal project in the history of American law, and that is Trial Lawyers Care. Trial Lawyers Care is a collection of about 1,600 lawyers working on presenting the cases for the families of the victims of the September 11, 2001 attack on America. That's 1,600 lawyers assisting more than 3,600 families to present their claims to the Victims Compensation Fund that was established by the federal government for these families to be compensated without resorting to lawsuits against the airlines and the security company and things like that. We've been at this for about, well, obviously close to 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about victims that are from 35 states and 11 countries. They've included eligibility for victims who are from other countries, which you're going to get in New York City,
right,
particularly in a place called the World Trade Center.
Right.
The volunteer lawyers on this project are from every state in the American Union,
plus
three Canadian provinces, lawyers from England, Australia, and Mexico as well. It's a huge gathering of capable, hard-working men and women engaged in what I think is a massive act of American decency.
Well,
working
and as
for
you
free
say,
for
it is unprecedented. The scale is unprecedented, but is it unprecedented in terms of the spirit of what you're doing?
It's wonderful. I mean, you're talking about the same group of people who are routinely trashed in the press as being greedy and unethical.
Yeah.
But really, they're decent workaday people that want to do their part to help the families of these victims in this
without compensation for any of this.
Yeah, and it's not just a question of presenting the claims to the special master. These folks need lawyers because it's a fairly sophisticated business presenting the claims that arise from a death case. But it's more than that. It was also engaging in outreach programs. Mm-hmm. These are people whose lives were shattered, and they really needed to be informed of what their rights were under this program. So we distributed more than 6,000 victim information packets.
They just needed to know. They needed to know when to show up, where to show up, where to stand, where to sit when they showed up, and when to turn left and when to turn right, and what they should expect in the future. They just need to know basically everything about the process, didn't they?
They do, and you have to realize these are people whose lives are upside down because typically the main breadwinner in the family is gone.
Yeah. Matthew, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We've got more to come. This is fascinating to me and very, very interesting, and it's good work, too. I'm proud of Matthew for his part in this. 20 Till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you about our show coming up straight ahead. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be with us. And if you've been listening to this show before, you know who Rich is. But also, if you've been listening recently, you know that Rich is in Baghdad. Mostly in the green zone, sometimes in the red zone. But he's our man on the ground in Iraq. And he's going to be we're going to be talking to him on the show tomorrow. For him to give us a report. He joins us about every 3 to 4 weeks, giving us a report on what's going on in Iraq. And so he'll be doing that. After that, Jonathan Zook's going to be with us. We're going to talk about the European Union versus Microsoft case and how that's going to potentially affect you and me in our small businesses. Eva Rosenberg is one of our top tax experts. She'll be with us after that. And after Eva, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas and a member of the Federal Open Market Committee, our buddy Dr. Robert McTeer is going to be with us on the show. He's a member of the Fed, and he's going to be with us again. That's going to be on the show tomorrow, too. So I'm looking forward to all four of those folks. Matthew Cartwright is our guest. He is a principal in Munley & Cartwright, a law firm in all over Pennsylvania. And we're talking about his participation in the volunteer effort that 1,600 attorneys from all over the place have entered into to represent the more than 3,000 families that were affected by 911. Now, Matthew, this includes all of the victims, the D.C. folks and the D.C. families, the Pennsylvania folks, and the folks that were killed in Pennsylvania and New York?
That's right.
All the families.
All of the victims of that horrible day. Jim, let me tell you a little bit about how the compensation system works.
Okay.
Your listeners might be interested in that. It's primarily, people wonder, you know, how do you value, a dead person? How do you value a life of a person?
Mm-hmm.
The way they're doing it with the Victims Compensation Fund, which is VCF for short, the VCF does it pretty much the way American law does it throughout the 50 states. The big question is, how much did the person make? How much would the person have earned in his or her lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's kind of a crass way of measuring it, but they have to come up with some system, and most states have used that measure. So that's called economic losses.
Mm-hmm.
You figure out how old the person is, how much the person made, and how much the person would have made in the future. For example, if there was a promotion that they were sure of getting in the near future, you take that, have an economist look at it and add productivity increases over that worker's
mm-hmm.
lifetime, and then come up with a total earnings amount. Then you have offsets from that. You have how much the person likely would have spent on himself, you know, a minimal amount of money for clothing and shelter and food.
Hmm. So it's basically an economic model, isn't it?
That is by far and away the largest element of these cases. You also subtract out what we call collateral offsets. For example, if a family had life insurance mm-hmm. or there are other death benefits involved from work, those are subtracted from the awards.
So even though the cook that was on the Window to the World restaurant wouldn't have made as much money as one of the traders in one of the on one of the floors below him, even though he wouldn't have made as much money, and wouldn't maybe his calculation wouldn't rise as, wouldn't be as high as his the answer to his economic equation wouldn't be as high as the traders. The traders would be, his compensation would be offset by maybe some of the assets that he already had, some of the resources that he already had. It probably would be more than, say, the cook on the, in the in the restaurant.
Well, you're right. I mean, people that make a lot of money also have the wherewithal to buy life insurance because they realize their families
right.
are depending on them.
Or to put away money in investments or whatever.
Right. Now, in addition to economic losses, you have non-economic losses, such as things like pain and suffering, pre-impact fright. You know, some of those folks, let's not ignore, died an awful, awful death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of them had to make a decision between burning up or leaping to their death, and they chose one or the other.
It's just too horrible.
Some
to
of
think
these
about.
Families have messages on their recorders at home, you know, moments before their death.
Right, and it's so horrible to think about that. Under the rules of the system, under the regulations set up, there is a presumed non-economic award of $250,000 per death, plus $100,000 per dependent on the deceased mm-hmm. member of the family.
Mm-hmm.
That's a presumed award, and if there is concrete evidence along the lines that you were just discussing, that is thrown in there, and the arbitrator, whose name is Kenneth Feinberg, and his staff are entitled to depart upwards from that presumed award in cases where you have that. Cases like heroic activity, I was involved in one of those last week.
There's a woman, I heard a story about a person who wouldn't leave her boss, who was in a wheelchair and couldn't get down, and she stayed with him, and they both died.
And I'm proud to tell you that I represented her family. Her name was Yvette Anderson.
You know, I'm sorry. I thought I didn't mean to steal that. I now remember that, but I've heard that story from somebody else, and I just now remember that you told me that.
An American hero, Yvette
wow.
Anderson.
Wow.
She was at work with her boss at the New York Department of Taxation and Finance on the 87th floor of the second tower. The first plane hit the first tower, and
she had time to get out but didn't. And I want you to finish that story on the other side of these messages. Ten till, stand by, folks. More to come after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Matthew Cartwright is our guest.
When you're down.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And folks, I've been guilty of scuffing up trial lawyers in my life, in my career, in my time on this radio show. And there have been times when they deserve to be scuffed up a little bit. But now is the time. There is something going on when they deserve to be given a big pat on the back, a nice high five. Maybe even a hug. And I'm not positive about that. Maybe even a hug. And I'm just having a little bit of fun with my good friend Matthew Cartwright. But he's one of 1,600 lawyers who have volunteered to help with the mediation of the 911 tragedy, the families that are involved in that. And Matthew, on behalf of human beings everywhere, we want to thank you for what you're doing.
Have you hugged your lawyer today?
That's right. Everybody needs hugs. No, you know, five. Only you have to have five a day just for maintenance. Even trial lawyers, right, Matthew?
That's right. I'm a trial lawyer. I do cases in front of juries all over Pennsylvania and parts of New York as well.
Talk to us about this hero that you were telling us about. Tell us what she did.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, obviously one of hundreds of stories of heroics, individual acts of heroics on September 11, 2001. But it was my privilege, along with my very good friends, Eric Abramson from Detroit and mm-hmm. Alex Waddell from Manhattan, who are also both trial lawyers, to represent on a free basis the Anderson family. Yvette Anderson was working on the 87th floor of Tower Number 2 in the World Trade Center that morning, The first plane hit the first tower, and people were streaming out of the complex, even though on the PA system they announced it was all right to stay in Tower 2.
Yeah.
Yvette's friend, Raj, called her on the telephone and begged her to get out. And Yvette refused, and I'm going to tell you why she refused. Yvette's supervisor and very close friend was wheelchair-bound. He was a polio victim, and it was obvious that he would need assistance in getting out of that building quickly. She refused to leave his side when she had the chance. Of course, they didn't realize another plane was coming, but they're right. In a complex that's on fire.
Right.
She refused to leave, and they both perished, with everybody else on the floor, obviously.
Wow.
Yvette was 53, Jim, and she left a husband and two children, and that was one of the most emotional hearings that I've ever been to. Just to talk about Yvette and what she did and who she was, very committed Christian woman from the lower Bronx in New York. And her decision is still pending.
Wow. What will these are all, is everything being mediated, or are there going to be trials?
I don't know what the proportion is. These are mini trials. They're arbitrations. These are all people who have agreed not to sue the security companies and the airlines in exchange for and this is a big compromise.
Right.
In exchange for being able to submit these claims. And many of these claims are simply submitted on paperwork, and they're given an award, and they accept it.
Right.
In cases where, in track B cases, we call them, people ask for a hearing automatically. In a case like this, you need
right.
a hearing like that.
Right. But are there going to be, are some people not participating in this plan?
There are a couple of different types of lawsuits going on outside of the VCF. By the way, if you want to know more about this, you should look on www.911lawhelp.org.
Okay.
And that
Thanks.
Tells you all the nuts and bolts about what the trial lawyers care thing is doing. But beyond that, there are a couple of lawsuits. There's one against the Saudi government.
Yeah.
Just recently, the federal district judge in New York dismissed the Saudi royal family as defendants, saying that they're immune from suit under international law.
Right.
That raised a ruckus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to see the interplay between the lawyers handling these cases, trying to find the links between Al-Qaeda and Saudi and other national governments, the interplay between those efforts and the U.S. Justice Department, which is really trying not to help those things out.
Hmm.
You find out that these lawyers trying to pursue those links are getting more cooperation from foreign governments and finding more U.S. documents that way than from our own government.
Matthew, I got to stop you, but this is fascinating. I want you to come back. And next time, I want to talk about this some more, but I also want to talk about what kind of a precedent this sets. We'll talk about that next time you join us. Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Matthew.
Great to be here.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for being here. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.